Can I believe in amen? Put your hands together for the Lord. You can do better. Celebrate your maker, celebrate your savior. It is by his mercy that we are gathered. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his mercy that has kept us. We appreciate him and we have no. It is our responsibility to appreciate him, to worship him. Because he has been so awesome, he has been so wonderful. If not for him, where will we be? Some are enshrined now, bound down to idols. Some are just waking up from their beds because all through the night, they were in nightclubs. But the Lord has brought us out of darkness and has brought us into his light. We are so privileged to be among the chosen one. Somebody celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. The best thing that can happen to a man is to be a Christian. But that is the only way to life. It is the only way to life. Every other way will lead to perdition. But following Jesus is the only way. We thank the Lord for what he has done unto us. So very quickly, without wasting much time, we'll be going straight into today's Sunday school. And today we shall be looking at a subject I titled Understanding the Process of Salvation. Understanding the process of salvation. Praise Master Jesus. It is very, very important that we look at this very important subject. Jesus is coming. Romans 11:25 has not yet been fulfilled. That is, the fullness of the Gentiles not coming. And so many are still giving their lives to Christ. And it's so important that we look at the process of salvation. But the process of salvation we are looking at, the context we want to look at it this morning, is about our relationship. Our relationship with our Father and our relationship with our brethren. Praise the Lord. I think, can we have the first slide? Understanding the process of salvation and the aims of this topic. Understanding the process of salvation. The aims are to give a believer the knowledge of his or her relationship with God. The context we want to look at the process of salvation is as relates to our relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we are in a spiritual setting. And we cannot afford to be cold. And this is a class. So the essence of this teaching, say, number one, is to give a believer the knowledge of his or our relationship with God, his maker. So secondly, to give a believer the knowledge of his or her relationship with his brethren. So number three, to give a believer the knowledge of the position he or she is spiritually. The process of salvation we want to look at is to afford you the knowledge of your position spiritually. And number four, to create in a believer an awareness of the expectation of God from him or her. To let you know, to make you to be aware that God saved you and he has an expectation for giving you salvation. Number five, to cause a believer to know the point at which he or she is saved. Because there is a point that a believer is saved so that he will not assume salvation. When he's not saved, he will not be thinking he's saved. So that he'll be able to give effort towards ensuring that he is saved. And finally, to warn a believer against the danger of assuming salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Understanding the process of salvation as it relates to relationship. It is a known fact that in every family, that our relationship, the way we relate with ourselves in a family, is a function of how we become a member of that family. Praise the Lord. That the way we relate, just for instance, the way a son will relate with his father is different from the way a servant or a houseboy in that family will relate with the father. We relate with the head of the family. Is that true? The way Abraham will relate with Isaac, is it the same way he will relate with Eliezer? This is a class. I need a response. Is it the same way? Is it the same way he will even relate with Ishmael? See, how we become a member or we come into a family determines our relationship with one another. In earth, we are supposed members of a family. We are all supposed God's children. The way we relate with God, our Father, is largely dependent on how we become a member of God's family. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. And that is why it is important that we know how we become a member of God's family. That is why we are looking at the process of salvation. In other words, we are looking at the process of being born again. Being born again. The process of being born again. Because if you understand how you become a member of God's family, then you will know how to relate with him, and then you will know how to relate with his children. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Relationship. Like I said, a servant will relate differently to the father from the way the son will relate. I am going somewhere. The way a servant, master-servant relationship is different from father-son relationship. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. So, how you become a member of a family is so important because it determines so much about you relate your relationship in that family. Remember I said, the process of salvation is to give us the knowledge of our relationship with God. The knowledge of our relationship with God. And it is dependent on how we become God's family. Praise Master Jesus. The process of salvation, the process of being born again. I hope, I know we have been thoroughly taught. That is why before I begin to go deep into this teaching, because we are going to look at four different things to understand our relationship with God. But before then, I know we have been properly in this church taught. And this teaching is likely for those who are just joining or becoming part of the members of the body of Christ, and also open somebody's eyes who indirectly must have been assuming salvation so that he will give heed to the process of salvation. Praise Master Jesus. Hope we know that we are not saved by just a confession we make hope we know that salvation is not by making a confession that, oh, Jesus, I have repented of my sins. I come to you today. Write my name into the book of life. I hope we are well established that salvation is a process. Salvation is not just by you just making a decision and say, I am following Jesus. Salvation is a what? A process. Just as the natural birth is a process. To give birth to a child, it is not just, a child is not just born the day that the father and the mother have that sexual intercourse. Is it that day that the child is born? Is it that day that that child is born? And so it is. Giving birth in the natural world involves a process. The same way in experiencing the new birth experience is a process. Praise the Lord. It is not something that you just, oh, you make a confession and you say you are saved. Nobody is saved by making a confession or just deciding to follow Jesus like that and say you are saved. It is one of the lies that the denominations have been propagating. And many people say, oh, I am saved because I have confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Salvation does not come by that means. And many people also think that deciding to be a member of a church automatically has made them to be saved and become part of God's family. Praise the Lord. You are not saved simply because you decide to be a member of a church. It has been well established here that being a member of a church is different from being a member of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be a member of Bread Assembly Church, or you may be a member of the body of any church, a local church, and not be a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You may be thinking you are saved just by manifesting a gift. That now, since I can pray for the sick and the sick is recovered, or you can cast out devils, or you are even owning a title that you are saved. No. No. You are not saved by manifesting a gift. You are not saved by casting out demons. You are not saved even by answering a title. You are not saved by even giving your tithe and offering. You are saved. Your salvation comes by a process. So, you may be a member of a church for 20 years, for 30 years, even for 50 years, and yet not yet being born again. And that is one of the greatest mistakes. It's one of the errors that has made Christianity to be at the level it is today. That is one of the errors in the body of Christ. That many people just decide by mere fact that they are a member of a church, automatically they think that they are saved. Salvation is deeper than that. Salvation is what? Is deeper than that. You might be attending a church for years and yet not being a part of the body of Christ, not experiencing the new birth experience. It's a process. Understanding that process, knowing the process by which you are saved, determines so much about your relationship with God. Like I said earlier, that our relationship with God and with our brethren is a function of how we come into that family. Praise the Lord. I pray this morning as we are going, the Lord will give somebody understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is coming soon. We are waiting for his soon coming. We are making effort. We pray. Our prayer is that, say Matthew 7:21. Say, many shall come on that day. In your name I've done this. In your name I've done this. Some people will even say, I have been a member of a church for only God knows number of years. And he will say, depart from me, Oh, ye, that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. So that is why it is so important that we understand properly how we are saved. And be very sure, am I truly saved? So that we will not just continue to assume and we will not be among those that the Master, our Savior, will say, I don't know you at the end of our journey in the name of Jesus Christ. So, the relationship we are looking at, the next slide. We are going to look at these four themes to understand this relationship. These four themes, the key themes to understand our relationship with God. Say number one, adoption. You know, when somebody hears adoption now, the first thing that will come to mind might be thinking the process by which God we commit responsibility that you are an heir of God's salvation, then God will begin to place you on what to do in the kingdom. No, I'm not looking at adoption in that concept. That is an instant culture whereby if a man wants to adopt his son, he will bring witnesses and make a declaration that today he has become my son. That everything, whatsoever he does, is as good as I'm the one doing it. I'm not looking at adoption in this concept. I'm looking at adoption as a relationship now with the Father. God uses the word adoption. We're going to look at the word adoption as it is used in Romans chapter, the next slide. What is adoption? Adoption is an English word. So adoption is a process by which someone becomes the legal parent of a child who is not his or ours biologically. Please, let's follow. Because what we want to achieve through this study, we want to achieve through this study, is it is as we go along that we understand. And the purpose for God giving us this teaching to take will be accomplished in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Adoption is an English word. So to adopt is a process. That's a process that must be, that you must go through before you can adopt a child as your son. So you are adopting a child. You are not the father or the mother of that child. But it's a process, a legal process, that are documents you need to sign before that child can become your son or your daughter. It is an English word. Praise the Lord. Now, God uses this word. Let's open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. God uses this word adoption to let us understand something about our salvation and about our relationship with him. Please pay attention to the scripture. So here you will know it's not talking about God committing any responsibility. Now look at it. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? I can't hear you. Say it louder. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. He said, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Verse 15 is my emphasis. Take it. Return it to verse 15. 15. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Brethren, when you are born again, after we have completed the process of salvation, the spirit that we receive is the spirit of God. And that spirit, the spirit of adoption. He said he has given you the spirit of adoption. It is the spirit of sonship. That now my spirit is now in you, you have become my child. Why does God use the word adoption? I put it written there. Say God uses the word adoption to let a believer know that he has saved him or her, so that he or she, look at the written, can understand his love for him or her. And secondly, he or she can appreciate salvation. Praise the Lord. God uses the word adoption that, for you to know, it is at the primary stage of your relationship with God when you have become his child, that God reveals to you his relationship, that you are my adopted son. Now, that you are my adopted son. Remember, when we have not yet given our life unto him, when we have not yet completed our process of salvation, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, it said, through one man since Adam, sin entered, and by that sin, all were made sinners. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Through Adam, you and I, we became what? Sinners. And by that, who took ownership of our lives? When we were sinners, devil. Praise God. Before God gave us a spirit of adoption, before we accepted salvation, who was in charge of our life? It was the devil. Oh, you don't know. You see, we were lost by the sin of Adam. We were totally separated from God. The devil was in charge. Was in charge of our soul. Was in charge, total control of our life. Praise God. Now, we have no father anymore. Let's, for you to understand this, the point I'm making, read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. Before Christ came, we were under the control of Satan because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Ephesians say, wherefore, remember, please look at the scripture so that we will know that if not for Christ's salvation, we were doomed. That is why you need to appreciate salvation. We were doomed if Christ has not come. Say, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. Please pay attention. This will enable you to understand, to appreciate what God did for us, for coming down to save us. Past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision. This is Apostle Paul speaking here. By that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Verse 12. Want to see your estate before Christ came. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Look at it. Having no hope, your condition before salvation appeared was hopeless. Your condition was helpless. Say, having no hope and without God. Who was your God before salvation came? Satan. You were hopeless. In fact, adoption is used, it's always for orphan. When people that are always adopted, the children say, no father, no mother. So, when you have no father in the world, no hope, your condition is that of an orphan. A wretched estate you are. Your end is lake of fire. That was the condition we were in before salvation came. You understand why God is using the word adoption now? It's to let you know his love for you. Now, imagine if a child who has no father has no mother, has no relationship, suddenly is adopted by a wealthy man or by a king. He finally finds himself in a palace. How do you think he will be relating to that man? See, God uses the word adoption for you to understand your wretched estate. It is that understanding of this word adoption that produced the songs, such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love is in a such a side. How wondrous. God bless you. It is when you are in that estate, the condition of hopelessness, that you know your destination is air and lake of fire, and salvation appear. Somebody put your hands together to the Lord. Salvation appear. God uses adoption so that you look, say, I have given you the spirit of adoption. I have adopted you as my son. It's for you to understand where you were coming from, where you would have ended if his salvation plan has not been revealed to you. Praise the Lord. To appreciate it and guide it jealously. To know your wretched estate. To know where you would have ended before he came. That is why he uses adoption. Praise the Lord. Do we understand why he's using adoption now? So that you can understand it, to know the condition you were in, that you are under the total control of Satan, and he has taken ownership of you by the reason of the sin that Adam and Eve committed, and your destination was where? Air and lake of fire. But salvation came through who? Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord. He uses that word of adoption. But before I proceed, please, I want to emphasize, before Romans 8:15, that God gives you, because it is the final stage of the process of your salvation. At that point that God gives you his spirit, that is the seal to your salvation. And there are other things that must have taken place. Like I said, you are not just saved by what? By just confessing in Romans 10:9, that with the mouth conversion is made, say with the heart you believe. No. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart. What do you believe? Praise the Lord. What do you believe? Believe in thy heart. God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. This scripture has confused so many people. Has confused so many people, particularly majority of the denominations. And because of this verse, the process of salvation, they ignore it. And that has affected the Christianity that we see today. Praise the Lord. You cannot bypass the process of salvation and see the fruits or the results of what the process of salvation is to achieve. It's not possible. The process, every step that you need to take towards getting you saved, you must go through it. Just like a child cannot be born if he does not pass through the stages of his of that reproduction. If he misses anyone, will the child be given birth to? There will be miscarriage. And so many Christians are already miscarried, even while they are alive. They did not get to the end of their process of salvation. And today they claim they are Christian. Meanwhile, they are not yet Christian. They are not yet saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know it has been overemphasized and treated. But for the sake, please bear with those. I believe there will be a new member, a newcomer today that is just joining us this morning, or that is getting connected to us all over the world now, that is just giving his life to Christ. Please, just permit me. I'm not going to bore you. To just, within 2 minutes, this process, it needs to be understood. It needs to be explained. It needs to be, and you may be here for 20 years, and all you have done is to just join Bride Assembly Church because you like our worship, you love our prophet, you love our daddy in the law, you love the brethren, and you have been here for years, and yet the main reason why God brought you here, you have left it aside. Let this be an opportunity to begin to consider, to have a reflection about your life, that you are not saved until you have received the Spirit of God. You are not born again by just making any confession. You are not born again by just becoming a member of a department in a church. You are not born again by answering a title, whether you are a pastor or you are an evangelist or an apostle or you are a prophet. You are not born again. No matter the number of years you have been in the church, that you are born again by what Jesus Christ says in what? John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. See, which Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. A lot of people don't understand. I believe that is the problem I was having with that my colleague that time. You want me to teach you about things in the kingdom. You need to be born again first. There are certain things that are happening in Christianity that you can, it will be a mystery unto you unless you are born again. Praise the Lord. Many things will appear as a mystery. Christianity is a mystery. And except you are born again, you cannot understand what is happening. Praise the Lord. Except you are born again, you cannot, except a man be born, he cannot see. Seeing there is understanding of what is in Christianity. If you are not born again, you cannot understand. And it is one thing for you to be born again, and it's another thing. It's one thing for you to understand what is happening in the kingdom. It's another thing for you to enter. So what must you do to enter? To enter there, what must you do to be born again? Verse 5. Please, let somebody not just be religious. Don't just be religious. Come to Christ by revelation. Say, Jesus, answer us. Verily, verily, see how to enter, to become born again, to be saved in the kingdom. Say, Jesus, answer, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, be born of and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of water, except your sin are washed away, except you are washed by the washing of the water, Ephesians 5:25. Except you are washed, that your sin that separated you from God is washed away. And I said, you are washed by the washing of the water of the world, you are not born again. And finally, of the Spirit, that Spirit, receiving the Spirit of God in you, that God describes that ye have not received the Spirit of fear, but you have received what? The Spirit of adoption. Except that Spirit you have received it, please, no matter the number of years, no matter any activity you have performed, if Christ will come today, he will tell you, I know you not. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. In case you are joining us anywhere in the world now, or you are here this morning, for you to be born again, to say you are a Christian, you need to what? Repent. Because we are looking at the process. Repent, that is you being dead to your old life. Being dead. And after you are dead, what? You are baptized. For the what? For the remission of your sins. For the remission of your what? Your sin. And ye shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is what Peter explained. And because of this the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before where we have come to, we cannot be religious over this, the process of salvation. Because this water baptism, you know, there are renowned preachers now. There are eloquent preachers. I don't know whether you must have been listening to them. And they are downplaying. They are downplaying the importance of water baptism. And it is so important. That is the core step that you must take for you to be saved. You bypass it, your process of salvation is not complete. Praise the Lord. And I want somebody, you know, we have talked about it. See, they tell us that scripturally, we have proven that, we said water baptism. I said baptism in the scripturally say it is three. Say number one, say baptism, say water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, and the baptism by suffering. Now listen, this by my own personal study, this one is not scriptural. The most important baptism now, it is what we call church baptism. Have you heard of that before? Church baptism. And can I tell you, most people in Christianity today, that baptism that is not scriptural, that is very popular, is what they have experienced in the place of correct water baptism. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am not speaking of maybe assumption. It is what I know. I could remember when I met my wife, and to bring her here, see what I believe. See what I believe. That for you to be a Christian, you need to be what? To repent, the process of salvation. Repent. After your repentance, you undergo correct water baptism in the name of Jesus. I opened the scriptures that confirm it to her, and she came. But can I shock you? It was 2 years after, while I was sitting down in the sitting room watching our broadcast, I came back from work. He said, everything you have been saying about this water baptism all these years, that it was now, today, that I was listening, that I believe. I now realize that means the water baptism you did, you only did water baptism to follow me. If you die today, you are going to hell. Because your sins are not remitted. So you only did water baptism so that we can marry. Praise the Lord. And I know many people are here this morning. Why they did their water baptism? So many reasons other than the primary reason. Other than the primary reason. Some did their water baptism to become a worker here. Many did just to become a worker. Many did just to have a husband or a wife to marry. And that is what I call baptism of the church. The baptized to become a member of the church. And it is very... If I 50%, so that I will not be wrong, of Christians today, the baptism that they did was the baptism of their church. This is the way we do it in our church. But that of the Bible, that of the Bible, they don't want to. And if you are here, search, if you have not done baptism for the main reason, for eternal life, for your sins to be washed away, to become a member of God's family, that your old nature can be changed. If your decision that make you to go for water baptism, it is not this. Brethren, it is so important, even after this teaching, that you examine. You examine yourself. Because we just need to be sincere with ourselves. There is nothing to achieve in deceiving ourselves. If your water baptism, it is not for salvation. The Spirit of God, you know, is the one that searches the heart. He said eternal life is given to them that obey. If you did water baptism for any other reason, so many reasons make people to do it. Not the main reason for your sins to be what? Remitted. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 37, 38. The main reason, it is for your sin, the sin you inherited from Adam and the sin you have ever committed. If it is not, go and rebaptize. For it is so important. We don't use vision. We don't use vision to establish doctrine. But can I tell you something? I need to dwell on this because it is our understanding of this that we determine how far we will understand the essence of this teaching. So I need to really establish certain things here. The spiritual juggernauts, the highly revered preachers that are downplaying water baptism now. See, it was early year. I'm not using this to establish. But this is what the Lord told me. I was about to wake up. He said, go and study the book of James. Praise the Lord. I was like, I have studied the book of James severally. Why this study? I had to be obedient. I was studying. James 2:26. Somebody open. Immediately I started from chapter 1. Let's look at James 2:26. He said, for as a body without the spirit is dead. Please pay attention. This is what the spirit. I'm not using this to establish. Water baptism has been well established in the scripture without any doubt. But this is just my own personal. Maybe God allow me to see it so that I will not pay attention to the errors that is flying all over the world. He said, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. Immediately I reached there, he said, go to Mark 16:16. Mark 16:15. Please, so that, please, brethren, we. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every. Verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You know what he made me to understand? He said, your faith. He said, your belief. He that believes. You know, the denominations are saying that he that believeth alone. And once you can believe in your heart and confess, then you shall be saved. He's making me to understand. He said, your belief. It's like the faith that is what is dead. It's like with other, you believe without what comes after. He said, he that believes and is what? And is baptized. He was making me to understand. He said, faith is your belief. He said, and is baptized is the work. So your faith without work, he said, is dead. Your belief without water baptism is what? Is dead. Praise the Lord. So, water baptism is a prophetic action. Something you do that have a spiritual implication in your new birth. You bypass it, you will still remain. You will not complete the process of your salvation and it will affect your life as a believer. Praise the Lord. So, having said that you need to be baptized baptized correctly and ensure that you received what? The Spirit of God, which is the final stage. Now that spirit that you received, praise the Lord, is the what? Is the spirit of what? Adoption. Praise Master Jesus. After you have repented and you have been baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ, I say he gave you the spirit. At that moment of your salvation, he uses adoption to let you know where you are speaking you from. But Proverbs 4:18, what does he say? Now we are going into the relationship now. Proverbs 4:18, what does he say? He said the path of the just. He said it's as the shining light. That is what? That shineth brighter and brighter. But the path of the just is as the shining light. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God revealed himself as he has adopted you. It's for you to know. But if you begin in the relationship with him as a father and son, the revelation will progress. God will cause you to know that he has not only adopted you, he has not only adopted you, but what? He has redeemed you. Praise the Lord. Because there is, you might be having a fear that the kind of fear you are having when the devil was still your father. Now, he has used adoption. This man can one day come and cast me away. But God will come and reveal to you that you are not just my adopted son. You are my son. I have redeemed you. And that will take us to what? Predestination. How God redeemed us. And predestination, God's willing. God's willing. Predestination. That we need to understand, to properly understand how God redeemed us. We shall look at this, God's willing, next week. Somebody celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Now bow down your heads. If you have been blessed, begin to appreciate God for his grace, for coming down to save you. You that were like an orphan before, helpless condition, God has come to make you his son. Give him all the glory. Celebrate him. Are you the spirit?